Well, I am just always so delighted and honored that you choose to come out on these Wednesday nights in the season of Lent to spend time with us. In case this is your first time coming out on a Wednesday, let me just quickly explain to you kind of how the evening works. Clearly, we just have such a great opportunity to spend some time and worship together. So we do hope that that spirit just kind of carries us into the time of our message. And what we've been doing with these Wednesday nights is we've just been inviting people to come and take the podium and just share some of the things that God has been teaching them in their journey. So they're not our pastoral staff. They are people like you, the person you're sitting next to, that are just making their way through this life and striving to do so in a way that honors the Lord. So tonight will be our last opportunity for that because next Wednesday will be a baptism service. Oh, please come out for that. It's always such a great and powerful time together. But the speaker who we invited for this evening, boy, I just know that you're going to be blessed by him. When Pastor Ben has opportunities to be here at the pulpit, you often hear him talk about how much we believe in the next generation here at Celebration Church. And he believes that wholeheartedly, but most of us could sit back and say, well, he's the youth guy. He should believe that about the next generation. But some of us can kind of get up in ourselves thinking, but I know. Church, I'm going to tell you, if you have that attitude, you don't know. Like this generation that's coming up, these teenagers that are seeking the Lord and striving to walk with him in this world, like they are so inspiring. So we have such a great opportunity to, yeah, you can give them a hand. They're so inspiring. So our speaker tonight is one of our teenagers here at the church. He is your junior, right, Dylan? He is a junior at Preble High School. I want you to know, like, my earliest memories of Dylan, like, I would have to get down on my knees to talk with him, to get eye to eye. But he was always one of those kids, when I did kids ministry for years and years, he was one of those kids who came in and he just loved to engage with everything. So he would come in and he would know if we were doing Bible storylines, he could always, like, get the pictures in order if we were, whatever we were talking about, the memory verses we did. He just always embraced the opportunities. So it's been such a sweet, sweet honor to see him continue to pursue the things of God. And Dylan really does have a call of ministry on his life. So I'm just so delighted to have the opportunity to let you hear tonight from one of our teens. Please welcome Dylan Goodacre.
Thank you. Well, good evening, Celebration Church. I'd like to start just in a quick prayer, so if you guys could pray with me, that'd be great. Dear Lord, I just come to you with such gratitude for giving me this opportunity to speak to the church tonight. Lord, I ask that these words would not be mine, Lord, but that you would speak through me and that you would open the hearts of everybody that hears them, Lord, so that they would be able to hear and take in whatever it is you have for them. We all ask this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, as Pastor Becky mentioned, my name is Dylan Goodacre. I am a junior at Preble High School. I'm involved in a lot of sports. We are in our baseball season right now. We are actually 2-0 to start the season. Woo! So it's fun. It's a fun experience, but I will say I'm ready for college. Some of you who may not recognize me may know my mom, Melissa Wilkie. She is the co-coordinator down in the King's Kids Ministry area. As well as Jason Wilkie, who actually is my stepdad and gave this sermon last week. So yes, that means I am a part of the Brady Bunch he mentioned. And I actually have a picture for you tonight just to show how much of a Brady Bunch we are. It really is quite a Brady Bunch. So top left, that's my crazy mom. Top right is Jason. My stepbrother Gavin is on top. We have Drew and Mackie in the middle. They are also just as crazy as they seem. And then my sisters, Abby and Raleigh as well. So it's a great family. I am super blessed. And especially on the other side too, I have my dad and my stepmom, Cliff and Nicole. My grandma came up from Fond du Lac just to support me tonight. So that was great, yeah. I'm super grateful for just the support system I have in my life, but it's amazing. So when Becky asked me to speak tonight, as I'm sure most of the people who spoke did, my mind immediately thought, you know, what am I going to speak about? I don't know really what I'm going to say. So I took kind of that day to think about it, and I got home that night, still not really knowing what to talk about. And I decided, well, I guess I should probably do some homework because that's important too. And as I was doing homework, I got a notice that my Google Drive was too full. So as I was clearing some stuff out of my Google Drive, I found a document that was titled Self-Control. And I said, well, I don't remember this. I don't know what this is. So I click on it. And sure enough, it was a sermon that I actually started planning. I don't know how long ago, but I saw it. And you know what? Now I'm here to tell you about some self-control. So I guess it was meant to be. So that's my message tonight. Tonight I want to tell you about four concepts of self-control to continue applying to your season of Lent, but then especially to focus on applying them after Lent and as we move out of this season when times really start to get tough. So four concepts. And that first concept that I want to touch on is called renewal. I love the word renewal. It's a word with just such hope in it. But there's two types of renewal that I want to talk about tonight. The first one being renewal of your situation, and the second one being renewal of your mind. So renewal of your situation. In the Gospel of John, Jesus told us that people who love darkness more than light do this because their deeds are evil. I'll say that again. People who love darkness more than light do this because their deeds are evil. So how do we fix this? How do we make our deeds not evil and let light into our situation? Well, that's simply it. You have to open up and allow light to come into your darkness because the benefits are incredible. The first verse I want to share with you tonight is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. This is a letter from Paul to the Ephesians. And in this letter, Paul is praying that the Ephesians would open up their hearts and allow them to be enlightened so that they could grasp onto the fact of three truths, that there is hope of eternal life in Christ, that there is incredible blessings that God has prepared for us, and then the true joy and unity of sharing his inheritance among all believers. And I think that's something that we need to grasp onto a lot more as a church and just as people, and realizing that we are truly blessed people just for the amazing things that God has done for us. And not only that, but that we're blessed with, look around you, all of these believers and so much more to share it with. So with that being said, I encourage you to find somebody to talk to that's in your life that you can trust and truly purge what's been going on in your life and everything that's been on your mind and in your heart so that you can just let that light into your darkness. The second one is renewal of your mind. In Romans 12:2, we read, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We just finished up a relationship series down in youth. It really is a great place. But we focused a lot on the first part of this verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Talking about being true to yourself, know your true identity. But I want to touch on the second part of this verse. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do we renew our minds? What does it look like to be renewing our minds? Well, it's a continuous practice that takes time to implement into your lifestyle. And it all comes from reading the Word of God, digging into God's Word, and spending time in His Word. But then more importantly, meditating on it. If you guys have been following along with our Lent devotional that we've been doing as a church, there was probably a good 6 or 7 days where it was all focused on meditating and meditating on God's Word, soaking in God's Word, and taking that time to just know his word. Not just know his word, but know his word, if you know what I mean. So when we meditate on God's word, that's how we begin to grow a steadfast mind and really have it in our back pocket and ready for battle, as I'll say. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, right, the devil came to him 3 different times, and each of those 3 times, he had 3 different pieces of scripture that he was able to turn to him and say, no, this is what the word of God says. And just like Jesus did in the wilderness, we should be able to do the same. We should be ready to fight our battles with the power of God. There's another verse I want to touch on really quick. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to renew our minds and let this renewal lead us into righteousness and holiness. Spend time reading his word and meditate on it. So the first concept is self-control, renewal. The second concept I have tonight is protection. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through. People who lack self-control mimic a city who don't have the right protection, the right boundaries and borders around them. So how can we make sure as people that when we go out to face those challenges that we have strong enough walls? How can we make sure that our protection is secure and that we are safe? Well, it tells us right in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 25. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear toward my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. This verse tells us about three ways we can protect and guard our hearts. The first one is to protect our ears. God tells us to turn our ears towards his words. I like to think of our ears as a gateway or a gate right to our hearts, right? Whatever you open up your ears to, you're letting that gate open and letting it straight into your heart. So think about tonight, church. What are you opening your gate to? Are you opening your gate to the negative thoughts of this world, to the lies that people tell about you? Are you opening your heart to the reassurance from people around you that you are loved by God and you are a child of God? One great way that I love to just focus on what I hear and what I let into my heart is music. Recently, I've turned a lot towards worship music, and I can just tell the difference. Not saying that secular music is a bad thing, and absolutely, I love listening to that music as well. I am a huge 80s fan, but really just focusing on, okay, maybe I should start listening to this worship music again. Let the truth of God be flowing through my ears, even when I don't realize that it's going to be affecting me. And the second one that this verse talks about is protecting your mouth. And this one I think is pretty simple, and I'm just going to say watch your language. I know I sound like a mom, and some of you might not have heard that since you were in high school, but now you just heard it from a high schooler. Watch your language. How many of you, and be honest, I'm going to raise my hand too, but how many of you change the way you talk at work or at school or wherever you are among people, and you aren't really proud of the things you say or the way that you talk? I am definitely one of those people. So what can we do to change that? What can we do to implement things into our lives so that we don't change the way we talk and that we don't keep those ugly, deceitful, perverse things from coming out of our mouths, right? And it just comes back to reading the Word of God. It comes back to surrounding yourself with the right people so that when you find yourself in those times where you may be saying things you're not comfortable with, you have people around you that can tell you and make you aware of the fact that you're doing so. And the third thing this verse tells us to protect is our eyes. When Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, he told us that our eyes are the lamp of the body. He explains that healthy eyes provide light to the body, where unhealthy eyes provide darkness. So what kind of light are you letting into your body? Maybe you're somebody who finds yourself reading books every once in a while that put you in thoughts and phases of fantasizing about, I'll say, ungodly or unholy things. Maybe you're continuously watching movies that place your heart inside of that darkness. Or maybe you're scrolling on social media and allowing the things you see to affect the way that you're thinking about yourself. And the thing is that all of these things come directly from what we use our eyes for and what we let our eyes fall on. So it comes back to the same thing with when I touched on music. Focus on what you're letting your eyes fall on, because in the long run, you'll start to see that, you know, when I start watching things that are fulfilling me rather than teaching me and showing me things of this world, it really brings light into your darkness and it sheds that darkness so that God can be a part of your life. And more importantly, he can live through you so others can see what it looks like to live like God. So the first concept, renewal. The second concept, protection. And the third concept I want to touch on is accountability. When Lacey gave her sermon, she mentioned the story of Moses leading the Israelites to fight the Amalekites, and I'm going to touch back on this. But really quick, Pastor Mark just left us off this past Sunday with the Israelites being enslaved by the Egyptians. And after we see a whole mess of everything that goes on, the Israelites are finally delivered out of Egypt. After all the plagues, they finally flee, they cross the Red Sea, and then they start struggling again. They start finding themselves doubting God and saying, hey, you brought us out of here, but where are we going? Why are we stuck here? We're supposed to be in the promised land. We're supposed to be thriving right now, but we're not. And just when they think that everything is at the lowest of lows, another challenge comes, the Amalekite army. So we read in Exodus 17, verse 10. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him. He sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until the sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. I love this verse because it shows, one, the true power of our God, that all it takes is our hands to be raised, and just like that, our battles get 10 times easier, and that is huge. But the other thing that I want to touch on is that Moses didn't go up to that hill alone. Moses went up with two people by his side to be there for him when he got tired, because the truth is, we're all going to battle, and we're all going to fall, and we're all going to struggle. But it's how we bounce back and how we handle those struggles that matters. And finding somebody to keep you accountable, finding somebody to walk with you in those will help 1,000 times, 1,000 times. And I think one of the most important things that I get out of this verse is that Moses didn't wait to go get Aaron and Hur until he got tired. He came prepared. Church, like I said, we're all going to fall. It's going to happen. Everybody in this room, everybody that's here on Sundays, we're all going to fall short and struggle. Be prepared. Put on the armor of God, but most importantly, have the people by your side that can help you through those struggles. Be prepared and ready to lean on those people when it gets hard, because when the time comes, you're going to need it. Trust me, I know. So, jumping back to protecting our mouths, this is a great way to apply accountability into our lives. Like I said, find somebody, just has to be one person, in those places that you find yourself struggling with your language, and just set them aside and have a talk with them. Say, hey, here's the deal. I don't want to be talking in these ways. I don't feel comfortable with it. That's not who I am. That's not who my God is. So I just need you to keep me accountable and call me out when I start struggling with this. Please just call me out and let me know when I start talking like this. Because once you find those right people, they will tell you, and it may suck sometimes. You're going to be like, hey, you know what? I don't want to hear from you right now, so just go away. But in the long run, they're going to be there for you to keep you up and keep you on the right path. Renewal, protection, accountability, and lastly, prayer. This one is probably the biggest one, but also simply the easiest one. Prayer is prayer. Spend time with God in prayer. God will equip you with the fruits of the Spirit. He will give you that ability to control yourself. All you have to do is ask for it. And obviously, when we ask for this, he's not going to give us endless self-control to be able to handle anything we need on our own. No, there's a lot of work we have to do and a lot of strengthening we have to do. But he's there with us, which makes it so much easier. And the best thing about prayer, the craziest thing about prayer, is that you can't pray too much. When you think you've prayed enough, when you pray and you pray and you pray, guess what? Pray some more, because there's never too much of it. God is always there, ready and willing to hear you, listen to you, and respond to you. You found that person earlier to purge to and just let everything off of your heart to, but have you purged to the Lord? Have you repented to God in prayer? This is why we take time every Sunday before communion to evaluate ourselves and say, Lord, hey, this is where I've messed up. I ask that you just cleanse me. I repent. I want my eyes to be fixed on you. I want my ways to be set in your will. Are you taking time to repent? If you're not sure what to repent, ask God to show you what to repent. There's a song by SEU Worship. They're probably my favorites right now. It's called Deep Dive. And there's a lyric in that song that says, show me what's breaking your heart, even if it messes me up. There's a psalm from 139, and ironically, that was the devotional for today's Lent, is that we can ask God to reveal to us where our hearts aren't in the right spot, and he will show us. It's a very scary prayer, but it is so worth it when you take that step, because God will show you that, hey, right now, it's not the way. This is not how I told you to live. And that's when we can say, all right, how do I change this? What do I need to do in my life to fix myself back onto that path that God has set me on? And when it comes to prayer, don't be afraid to ask for specifics. The Bible tells us, ask and it will be given to you, right? Maybe you're somebody who struggles with eating a lot of sweets. Lord, help me and strengthen me to deny my desire for chocolate. That's all it takes. Be specific. Lord, give me the strength to be slow to anger. Lord, give me the power to control myself and offer me patience. Prayer is such a powerful thing that I think everybody should be utilizing more and more every day and in their lives. Prayer is our way to connect and talk with God, and it's our way to hear God. How are we supposed to know what God wants for us and from us if we're not listening for it? So prayer, 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 and more prayer. Renewal, protection, accountability, and prayer. And I promise you, church, that once you apply those four things, you will start to see the temptations, the struggles, the hard times. They slowly, slowly begin to get easier and easier to say no to, and you start to find yourself fixated on the Lord and his will for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity to speak to the church. I ask that in this time of Lent and as we finish Lent, that you would just be with everybody in this room. Lord, provide them opportunities to go out and continue to strengthen themselves, Lord. Provide them the people that they need in their lives to act as accountability so that they can strive in the struggles and in the hardships. Lord, I pray over everybody in this room that you would just bless the rest of their week, bless the soup that we are about to eat, and I would just ask that you'd bring everybody home safely tonight. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you.
So good. I love that your Google Drive was full and you're like, oh, there's something on self-control. It's really great. I love the Lord. He's so fun. Well, Dylan has already prayed us out, so I'm just going to take a moment to just give you a little bit of direction again in case tonight is your first Wednesday night with us. We do have soup set out. We hope that you will linger, spend some time, grab some soup, have some conversation with people. We do ask each of our speakers, so we ask Dylan tonight to just provide us with a couple of questions for the sake of navigating in some conversation about the topics that were talked about. So you'll notice at the tables that there are questions at all those tables. We put them up on our screens as well. So we just give you a little bit of a launch pad to keep engaging with the things that have been talked about here. I also want to let you know that if you were here on Sunday, you know that we've got our Compassion sponsorship drive kind of going on. So we've got the Compassion people will be out there, some people at those tables. If you've had any desire or consideration of sponsoring kids, please stop and talk with them. We'll still have those packets this Sunday as well, and then they'll go back to Compassion headquarters. So check that out. And if you do have littles with you tonight, we do ask that you go pick them up before you go grab soup so that we can kind of get those volunteers relieved. If you have students who are in rite of passage tonight, however, they will finish up and likely come find you, or you can navigate that way by about 7:45, which is about another 10 minutes from now. But we do ask you to give them a little bit of time to finish up on that end. Thanks, as always, for being with us. I hope you enjoy some soup, and we will see you on Wednesday. Have a great night. Thanks again, Dylan.